This is Sam Dharmasena, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Pieces to Pathways, also known as P2P, is a peer-led substance use support program for LGBTQ2SIA youth ages 16 to 29 in Toronto. They're based in Parkdale, to be specific, and I speak with client support worker Ruthie Titus, who goes by RT, about the spirit of their work, their bi-weekly online groups, and the realities of providing harm reduction amidst the pandemic. To start, RT tells me what P2P was like when their physical location was open to clients.
Pre-pandemic times, we would have 3 drop-ins a week, and they would have workshops with them, and we'd make community dinners. And it was this really lovely, warm environment where folks got to like gather and, you know, sort of connect with some chosen fam, create new connections for folks who might not have humans that they like had close and deep connections with, and also like provided regularity for humans. Also, it's just like so lovely to gather around food. It's one of my favorite ways to welcome humans into a space.
At the heart of their work, P2P is about providing care to queer and trans youth in a way that affirms their identity. RT tells me more about the importance of this element.
Historically, there hasn't been as many folks who have lived experience and who can relate to the lives of our clients and their day-to-day experiences, which means that the care that they're able to provide often is lacking in this element that like actually humanizes the folks that we're engaging with. And then there's also this level of just like frustrations around having to teach humans who are providing services to you if you are lucky enough to get someone who's well-intentioned but just doesn't know anything about the communities that you're part of or things that are part of your identity.
They add that the nature of P2P's work can take some of that pressure off clients. And while this is always necessary work, the realities of providing harm reduction during a pandemic is important to name. RT is working at P2P now, but they did spend some time working with COVID-19 positive clients at one of the city's shelter hotels and was at a loss of words as they were explaining that experience to me. In the shelter hotels, they recall the seemingly impossible task of tackling overdoses, homelessness, and COVID-19 simultaneously.
You're like trying really hard to provide services for folks, and you're trying really hard to get folks into like safer systems, and like they're not available, and like anything that's available is overpacked, and or like there's like so many unsafe aspects of the services that are available. So often it ends up being like feeling safer for someone to like sleep rough than it does to access a shelter, especially in a pandemic time when the shelters are not set up to protect folks from catching this virus. But then there's like, they have less access to services if they're sleeping rough than they do if they're in a shelter system, obviously, like depending on what shelter you're in and depending on like what area you're in. But it just like, it's really been deeply frustrating, and again, that's an understatement, to witness the like ways that the systems that are meant to support folks are deeply broken, and how that is like at this juncture in time not just like impacting and slowly affecting the livelihoods of people, but like very rapidly leading to the deaths of like many folks who would access not only our services but like the services that are supposed to be provided to folks who are in need in the city.
P2P is one of the organizations that has been able to operate on a virtual basis since the pandemic hit in early 2020. Their services now range from distributing groceries to clients to hosting a bi-weekly online group where clients can attend workshops or participate in facilitated discussions. With their online programming, RT says it's exciting to see how far P2P can reach through their virtual channels.
We've had folks come from the States, we've had folks come from Montreal, and it's really lovely to have like virtual community extending and to see what other humans bring into the space. I think that's like been the thing that has felt good about virtual groups, is that there is no longer this like physical limit of we can only serve folks who can actually physically get to the space, which has been one of the things that has felt nice about shifting to virtual work. And also, it's been nice to have folks who like historically haven't been able to get to the space physically. It's just felt like it's another level of accessibility, which is great. I put my thumbs up. This is for the radio, so you can't see my thumbs up. So I'm telling you, I put my thumbs up.
On the other hand, recreating the same energy as their cozy P2P location is an ongoing experiment. They're always reassessing how to provide the best support and keeping it as collaborative as possible.
It takes a lot of intentionality to try and create an atmosphere in an online space. And like sometimes that is done with like you're checking questions and how you open up the group and like by like setting an intention or sharing what your intention is for the folks in the group and like inviting folks to share what they want to do there and sort of co-creating the space that you want to work within.
As part of this online P2P programming, they're hosting the What the F series where they reframe various topics and concepts.
It's like meant to sort of allow us to re-engage with ideas and concepts that can be really beneficial for us. And also that because they're beneficial and can be useful for, you know, all of our growth and sustaining our livelihoods are things that other like groups and communities have also taken on. And sometimes it feels like those ideas then belong to those groups and aren't as aligned with like the politics or identities that are like part of the groups that you identify as or like I identify as. I know that there's definitely lots of concepts that I have felt alienated from in the past and finding ways to re-engage with them that feel like authentic to my own experience has allowed me to actually utilize some tools that I'm like, this feels good. Okay.
The series began with three conversations around the concept of resilience.
Taking an idea like resilience and offering a space for our clients to have discussions to redefine what it means in their own lives and to re-examine both the ways that it shows up in their experiences and like their communities and the ways that they practice resilience and like really reframe and take that term resilience back was something that we wanted to offer to folks, just like to make these concepts accessible in a different way. And that's like something that we're exploring through the series, What the F is just like taking these ideas that can support like our wellness and like overall growth and like maintaining of livelihoods and breaking them down and actually understanding how they can live in our lives and like how they feel authentic to us and like how to engage with them in ways that don't feel cheesy.
During the time of this interview, RT was preparing for another installation of their What the F series, this time around identifying and coping with triggers.
We'll just like be going through some tools that are useful and like helping you figure out when you're actually triggered and like what the things are that are triggering you and then how you handle it when that's happening, like based on what your goals are and like giving folks some extra coping mechanisms and ideas for extra coping mechanisms if they want them. And they don't have to take them. They don't have to start using them. They can do whatever they want with them. But just like providing those as resources for humans.
Later in February, P2P will be holding an online group for Black folks. And while this is part of their Black History Month programming, RT adds that anti-oppression and anti-racism work is embedded into P2P all year round. They're also aware that being virtual doesn't mean that everybody has the means to attend. So they're working on ways to document some of the discussions that they've had in their online groups, like zines, for example, that could be printed or downloadable. To stay updated on their online groups and everything else that P2P does, follow them on Instagram at pieces.to.pathways. This is Sam Dharmasena, and you've been listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.